This is the Paul's Stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is part of our episode, Facing Our Fears. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Reporter Alana Gordon has been following people who have experienced very intense pain for long periods of time, and this pain seemingly has no cause. Alana, you spoke to a young woman. She's a teenager. Her name is Savannah Fleeman. She is from Mount Vernon, Iowa. This is how she describes the kind of pain she feels, even with the lightest touch on her skin.
It's kind of hard to describe. It was sort of like being stabbed, almost.
Just that little tiny touch on her hand?
Yeah. I talked to another teen with this kind of pain condition, Mary Kelly Shevlin of Kansas City, Missouri. And for her, even the slightest touch, on her feet especially, it can feel like a blowtorch.
It's almost like if you had like a really awful bruise or a really awful burn, but just your entire body is that. Everything that touches you, like clothes, sheets, it shouldn't hurt, and you know it shouldn't hurt, but it does.
For both of these teens, the pain got so debilitating that it completely consumed them by the time they were in high school. For Savannah, the pain worsened to the point that it put her in a wheelchair.
And I was gone from school so much and struggling to keep up.
And what's so hard is that there wasn't some like outside trigger that everyone could say, oh, this caused this. And there wasn't even some sort of like direct test where doctors could be like, oh, you have this. I can see this pain. It doesn't work that way. But both Mary Kelly and Savannah were later diagnosed with some form of amplified musculoskeletal pain syndrome, or AMPS. It's an umbrella term, but many also refer to these particular conditions as complex regional pain syndrome. And for people who develop it, like I was saying, the pain is excruciating. What's so striking about this, to me, Maiken, is that the way to treat it can be really tough, too, because it involves facing that pain and all the fears that come with it head on.
How so? What do they do?
So I recently went to check this out at this controversial clinic in Philadelphia at the Children's Hospital that treats patients with this syndrome. So the day I went there, I walked through a colorful exercise area. One patient's on a treadmill. Another's rubbing a stick of ice all over their bare feet.
We exposed them to lots of different textures and sensations that may bother them.
Dr. David Sherry runs the program. He's a rheumatologist, and he has been studying and treating this pain for over 3 decades. David stands out, even in this bright room, with his long white beard, zany ties, ridiculous jokes, and Chuck Taylor kicks.
High top, always black.
David says what makes this condition different from other types of chronic and acute pain, like when you break a bone, is that in this case, the pain takes on a life of its own. A pill or an operation won't work. Instead,
you override the pain signals to reset them. And you do that by stimulating the pain over and over and over until it settles down and resets.
So if light bothers you, sit in a bright room, work on a computer. If a slight brush of air on your skin feels like a blowtorch, step in front of this high-powered fan. Or if a small bump bothers you, like when you're in a car on a highway, well, lucky for you, next to that fan is a total body vibrator.
What I tell the kids, it shakes the bejesus out of you.
So can I get on this? This is a lot of vibration. This is not your typical physical therapy approach. It's not gradual. It's not about avoiding or easing into that pain. The in-clinic treatment part of this lasts about a month. Savannah, one of the teens I talked to, went to one in Kansas City that's modeled off of David's. There are about 8 like it around the country.
I was begging not to have to go back, and I was crying, and I was trying to stall all kinds of stuff to try to avoid going back.
She puked all over the dashboard on the drive home after the first day.
It was heartbreaking, I think, for both of us. It was very, very difficult.
That's Savannah's mom, Amy Robos. She wasn't allowed in during the day. None of the parents are. And as hard as this was, she encouraged Savannah to stick with it.
If we couldn't make it through this program, if this program didn't work for us, I was afraid that this was the best her life was ever going to be. And that was not okay with me.
Back inside the Philadelphia clinic, a couple patients are in gym clothes. They're sweating, and they're in a wide hallway that's painted green with line markers, like a mini football field. Physical therapists encourage them from the sidelines as they do animal walks.
Keep going.
This involves putting weight on a hand or foot that bothers them most.
Almost there.
It appears to be a real strain for one of them. Rheumatologist David Sherry says how these kids experience pain is different. Their nerve signals got caught in a loop that was then amplified after an initial stimulus. That might have been as trivial as a minor sprain from dancing or playing a sport. He likens what happens to when a microphone gets placed next to a speaker.
You get a high squeal. Well, that's a very soft sound that goes into the microphone. But then it comes out the speaker, goes in the microphone, comes out the speaker, goes in the microphone, and it becomes so painful, you have to leave the auditorium, you know, if they can't turn it off. So the same thing with these kids. You can't say, you know, this is just a light touch. I'm just barely touching your skin. Or, you know, your hair is brushing on your back. That can't possibly hurt. Yes, it can. Just like a very soft sound in the microphone, if it's too close to the speaker, can make you leave the auditorium.
For some people, this amplification results in physical signs. Blood vessels constrict, turning a hand or a foot blue. Either way, this is where desensitization comes in. Like when you put your hand in a sink full of hot water or jump in a really cold pool, at first that might seem unbearable, but the idea is you get used to it.
Because pain usually means damage. And so what we have to retrain these kids to think that the pain is not damaging their body. And so they need to work through that fear to retrain the nerves.
The exact cause and trigger of this pain isn't clear. It's a rare condition, and the research is ongoing. David and others suspect genetics play a big role in combination with the environment and psychological stressors. It's often misdiagnosed. But to pediatric pain specialist Dr. Elliot Crane, this condition represents an important window into pain itself.
It captures so much of what pain is. It captures the actual physiology of pain. It encompasses the modulation of pain, either the amplification or the minimization of pain. It captures the psychological response to pain, all the anticipatory anxiety and fear and depression that chronic pain causes.
Crane is director of pain management at Stanford's Children's Hospital in California, where he treats this condition too. He says no question intense physical therapy and desensitization is a critical part of the process. But he worries that a hardcore boot camp approach can be too much for some kids.
If it's a child, that can be a very traumatic experience. Very, very traumatic.
Elliot's concerned that could induce more trauma, even PTSD.
It's not necessary for somebody to feel the pain to get better. It's not true that no pain means no gain.
Two lines.
David Sherry at the Philadelphia Clinic disagrees.
I think that to tell them, oh, you know, don't worry, you know, poor baby, you know, we'll just do this and we'll coddle you and we'll bring you along gradually, it is a disservice to them.
He admits this approach isn't for everyone, depending on someone's anxiety levels and other factors. For that reason, they've beefed up their safety and psychological protocols and supports throughout. But David says patients have to be pushed to get better, so they learn to stop letting the pain control them. Here's Savannah again, who completed a similar program in Kansas City.
Before, I honestly thought pain was just part of life. It was part of who I was, even if I hated that. It just seems like it never was possible for it to truly go away for me. And now it's gone.
Savannah's 17 now. She no longer needs the wheelchair. She still has to maintain a therapy routine, both physical and mental. But she's taking college classes now. She's volunteering, she's excelling, and living a full life.
That's totally weird and totally crazy, but in like this amazing, mind-blowing, miraculous way.
For Mary Kelly, the other teen I talked to who went through that same program, her pain, it's just as pervasive as it was before, if not more. But she says still, the clinic experience changed everything.
Yeah, the pain is the worst it's ever been, but it doesn't define me or control what I do. It's really good to feel that way, to like have something that controlled you for so long and then to finally be free of that is really an incredible feeling.
She says now she seeks out everyday teen activities. She dances, she's in theater, she's active and engaged. And unlike before, she doesn't hold back.